Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, one of the easiest, I would say, and yes, the most profound lesson that you have to learn in life is that life is all about decisions and consequences. There are three things that matter in life. Number one is choice. Number two is choice. Number three is choice. Everything else is a consequence of the choices you have made in life. And now, people, because at the time that choices are made, you don't know exactly what you're doing for the most part. It seems like a simple thing which is put before you. Should I take this direction or take the other direction? And it seems easy. But down the road, it is going to determine so many things about your life that if you had taken the right way, your life would have turned out totally different as if you take the wrong way. And the problem is that at the time of making the decision, it wasn't very clear to you. For you, it was just a choice that you made. I've just chosen, this is what I want. This is the direction I want to take. So you miss out. And then you find yourself living a life which is random. And then when you get to a certain place, and especially, let's say, even especially a certain age, and your choices start giving receipts, life starts giving you receipts for all the choices you made, then you become indifferent. And then you start praying that God might come. You know, you've had that gospel of Katonda, akuvire you. You understand? There is no kuvida yoing that God is going to do. You had the time when you could have made a choice one way and you chose another one. But then the beauty of it is that there is no time when it is too late to make the right choice. But you see, you start getting, because in your mind now you see how much time has been lost. But you don't necessarily tie it to that a certain moment when it all happened. Only very few perceptive people can look back and say that this is the point in my life at which I could have turned out totally different, but I chose perhaps the wrong path. Others just think maybe it is happenstance, something happened, something could have been different if somebody hadn't done this, if somebody hadn't done the other, and you start blaming circumstances and everything around you, but the reality is all about your choice. And that choice comes and puts you at a point of elevation where you are in control, in total control of everything. At that time, like, you know, it can be a very, very powerful choice. For instance, somebody told me a story of he saw in the spirit a certain former president of America who was assassinated, and he saw his life the other side. And that's when it hit me that the things that pass us by, because that president, there was that preacher, Billy Graham. You remember the late Billy Graham? Billy Graham went and said that he felt a strong urge to go and preach to that man the gospel. A strong urge to go and preach to him the gospel. And he was one of the few preachers who had direct access to the White House. So he went and found the president there and told him, "Mr. President, you have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ now." Now, you see, that's he was offering him a lifeline. But at that time, the president was all that. You see, eh? Yeah, he's the president of the United States and what. So he said, man, Mr. Billy Graham, I'm a bit busy. I'm too busy for these things of yours. Maybe you should come back another time and we talk. But this man said, I went there with a strong urge. Just go and preach to him the gospel. Now, then he told him, after I had refused to receive the gospel. So he told him that, okay, tomorrow don't go to Dallas. I know you're planning to travel to Dallas. Don't go there. Then the president told him, what's wrong with you, guy? What's your problem? Basically, he brushed him up in a polite way and, you know. So he went to Dallas. And he was riding in a motorcade. You know, they used to ride in open roofs those days. And one bullet, shoo, through him. And then this person told me he saw what happened the other side. Demons had made a parade like this to mimic what people were doing in Dallas. And they had also lined up like this, you know, lined up. So it took the man a while to realize that he's no longer on earth. Because everything which he left here was there. Imagine you're riding through a motorcade and people are waving flags at you or at Mr. President. And then the bullet hits and you don't know. And then the other side, you see people waving flags. So he didn't even know what had happened. So they lined up for him and waited for him, gave him time to wake up. Then suddenly he realized he was no longer on earth. And then now he became very fearful. And then this person told me he saw the demons mocked him, like mocked him. Eh? Salute you, Mr. President, the most powerful man on earth. Then they mock you. They really, really mocked him. And he's there scared. Then this person told me he saw them drag him to hell. And he heard him scream. And he said, there is no such scream on earth here. A scream of real terror when you know that is the end of the story. There is no comeback. And he said, like, after they have finished doing all the mocking, they just got him and dragged him like this to hell. And the guy screamed, whoa! Like, you know, the very deep scream of agony. But that's it. That's the end of the story. Literally. But my point is this. At the time when he's being given that decision to be, he thinks he's all that. But you see, that's how decisions are. Because at the time you're making it, it doesn't look like it's the most important decision you are going to make. It just looks that you can choose between this and that. You are the one, you're in control. So what do you want me to do? To receive Jesus Christ, you first wait. I'm busy. No, first word, no, chill. Okay, don't go to Dallas, man, you calm down. Calm yourself down, I'm going to Dallas. End of story. Now, that's the extreme version of it. But in the less extreme version of it, every day you make decisions and you don't know what the end result is going to be. But if only it was revealed to you exactly how those choices are going to determine the outcome of your life, you'd be more cautious when it comes to making them. And they will not just be things which you take casually. And I'm choosing between this one and the other one. Choosing between that and the other. It's not like that. Because you see, that's why we pray. Because when you pray as a habit, the Holy Spirit will guide you in the decisions which are going to be important. Because you don't know. You see, eh? Somebody will come with this and they will come with the other. And at that point, you are the one in control of which direction you are going. But only the Spirit of God can know that if you take this direction, things are tight. Or if you go and inquire of him. But usually, you find that when you pray, those decisions make themselves and you end up in the right place. And you wonder, how did I get here? But somehow, because you had prayed about that moment when you were praying in tongues and you didn't know what you were praying about and what you were praying for. But you prayed about it. It was somewhere. And when you were praying in tongues, and you had no idea what you were praying about, you were preparing yourself for a certain moment in life. And then when that moment has arrived, you already prayed about it. And you find yourself taking the right, making the right decision, and down the road you realize that that was the moment when I could have gone in a wrong direction, but I didn't. And by the grace of God. Amen? Now you look back at your life and you say, how did I survive this one? I survived by the grace of God. True, by the grace of God. But also, by those prayers which you make and you don't know what you're praying about. Amen? How did I choose not to connect with this person? Somebody comes and they were supposed to take you. And somehow you just choose. Your mind doesn't take that direction. And you don't make that decision. And it turns out that you were saved a great deal of trouble by not taking that decision. Amen? When Genesis, I think chapter, 14 or 15, when Abraham and Lot decide to separate ways, and Abraham says, which direction are you taking? The scripture says that Lot looks at this land which had Sodom, and it looked very beautiful. Very beautiful, very well watered, like the garden of God. That's what the Bible says. It looked like the garden of God. Because with your eyeballs, you can very easily be deceived. Now imagine Sodom looked like what? The garden of God. And then Abraham tells Lot, choose which direction you take. If you take left, I'll take right. If you take right, I'll take left. Then the scripture says, find us a scripture, that Lot looked at the garden, very well watered, very beautiful, like the garden of God. Then he said, I'm going to take this direction. Now, that decision could have cost him a lot. For one, it cost him losing his sons-in-law. It cost him everything that he had built in Sodom, because God came and destroyed the place. And it could have cost him his life if Abraham had not interceded for him before God. But at the time he was making the decision, it looked like the best decision to make. What I'm trying to show you here is that you have to learn how to put yourself at the grace of God and how to inquire. Even when something looks so obvious and so, you know, so flowery, and actually it presents to you this thing that there is even no need to inquire. That's when you should inquire the most. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Okay? And go ahead, the next verse. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. And he had made the best decision as far as he was concerned. But if it wasn't for his uncle, Abraham, he would have died in Sodom on the day that that city was overthrown by God. So those specific moments in your life, you see, there is nothing I'm going to tell you that is going to move away from. You have to pray regularly, every day. Amen? Every day. There are times when you don't feel like it. Amen? There is nobody who feels like praying all the time. Let nobody lie to you. It is a discipline. Actually, I heard Kenneth Hagin saying sometimes he even holds his own ear and pulls himself by his own ear and says, go to pray. Then he goes to the what? Now that is the great Kenneth Hagin. That also him, sometimes you don't feel like it. But you know that it is necessary for you to live a successful life. And you have to eat all the time, because of course, feeling is the voice of the flesh. I've told you that. The flesh has a voice, and it's called feeling. You don't feel like it. You feel tired. You feel, you know, you don't feel connected enough and so on. So everything in you is screaming sleep. So you have to force yourself Because if you want to live a victorious Christian life, you have to have a prayer, a time for prayer which is sacrosanct. That means it's not up for negotiation. I am going to pray. I will pray no matter what. What if I don't pray one day? I will pray the next. Amen? But I will try to do it as much as possible. Because that's what it takes. Because on every single day you are making decisions. And those decisions are going to impact your life one way or the other. And you want to have the wind of God behind you to push you in a certain direction. And where you're confident that even if I didn't know what I was doing, somehow I made the right decision. And that is true of so many people's lives. I know it is true of mine. The most important decisions I took in life, I didn't know what I was doing. God just guided me there. And the scripture says that the steps of the righteous man are guided of God. Okay? So he guides you, and you are like a child, you understand? You don't know what is ahead. So God just guides you and puts you. And sometimes he will even guide you by blocking all other avenues. So that he leaves you only one way, and that's the right way. And that's what they call the grace. Because maybe if he had left you three ways, you would have chosen the wrong one. So sometimes he just deliberately closes all the others and sends you on one way, which is the right one. And you find yourself, you know, in a place, and then you look back. Now, some people don't necessarily see it that way. So when you stand every day and you're thinking about small decisions that you make in your life, you have to know that life is all about your choices. You can deceive yourself, I'm telling you, and people deceive themselves, and they start becoming angry, this person should have done this one, but it is all about their choices, and they go in a certain direction too, and the choices come from somewhere within them. The algorithm of life is almost like the one of social media. Amen? If you put on somebody's phone and it starts showing you, and you switch to social media, and all the videos are showing you Arsenal goals, you know that person has been watching that, isn't it? So now that's the same thing about the algorithm of life. Like, choices come from within you. They don't come from without. They come from within. That's why the scripture says that let nobody lie to himself. God does not tempt anyone. It says that in James. But everyone is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. That is the root of everything, a desire. Now, if there is a desire in you which is weird, I'm telling you, you'll start attracting things around you that match that desire, and you'll wonder why. But you can lie everybody, but something in you, something outside has identified that you have that desire inside you. And so it's trying to approach it. For instance, you've seen, if somebody comes to you, let's say today, and tells you that, I was actually telling somebody who was telling me she's married, but then she's listening to some other people who are married, who have terrible marriages. So she's reflecting other people's suffering on her own life. Can you imagine what my husband did? Oh, my husband did what? Then you become a vent for everybody who is angry at their husband. You've opened up your algorithm to that. You wait. It cannot fail to attract the same thing that you're listening to. It will always do that. But thank God this person listens to God. So God told her one day, stop listening to, cut off that person's friendship. Cut it off completely. So you block the number and do what, that's what it takes. And then the algorithm changes completely. Because all the time, this person did, can you imagine what they did? Get me that scripture in James. Can you imagine what they did? Can you imagine this person did what? Now they are shaping your mind, shaping you. And why do they come to you? Because they have seen a desire in you which you don't see in yourself. They cannot come to me. I tell you, there's nobody who has sweet gossip who comes to me because I don't have an algorithm that likes it. The minute you start, I say, I don't want to hear that story. It's not going to edify me. So I block it off. But if I listen to it today, and then again tomorrow, and then the algorithm will open it up. And then the next thing, I start listening to what? Start from what? Verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now, there has to be a desire inside you, which the enemy is going to identify that this one is a weakness for this person. And if I'm going to approach them, I'm going to approach them from this area. So now, you realize that if it happens to you the first time and the second time, you realize that there's something inside you that is being ministered to, which perhaps even you don't know. But usually your dreams will show you those things. You can even deny it. Can you imagine? My dream showed me this and this, but it's not true. It is true. It is deep inside there. And somehow the enemy knows how to, you know, identify that this person has this desire. Then he will bombard you with things of that nature and try and get you here, get you here. Like, for instance, I've seen people who have the love of money. You know, you've seen, you know, people who really like money. Okay, all of us like money. But some people love it, you understand? And like, they cannot, they have itchy fingers. And the devil knows that one, don't worry. Just give him money. He's going to sort him. And it's inside, and he knows. So when you are beginning to go somewhere, the first thing that will come to you is a temptation for money. A temptation for money. It happens three times. Then you say, but why is it happening to me? Because there is a desire inside you, which the enemy is trying to awaken. Okay? Which either you kill, or it will kill you. It starts from all there. The desire, the attempt. When they are drawn away by his own desires and enticed, something deep. And usually it is not something which is open. Because you see, people are pretenders. You can pretend that you like this and that, and you know, and even confuse everyone or even the people around you. But somehow they will know that this is, it's like that algorithm on the phone. If I get your phone and the first thing that is coming up is porn, you won't tell me you don't watch porn. You've been found out, isn't it? That's how it is. Now, why does it come to your phone? Of course, because it's what you've been watching. Now, it's what deceives you. I see the way people are looking at me and I know who is guilty. Now, it's the way it is. It's the way it is. So now, that is that same thing and it comes for you properly and tries to, you know, draw you. And it is that thing is structured by the devil, this social media thing. Completely structured by the enemy. Because it comes around that area of, you know, and then it will even suggest, have you seen these people who have relationships with AI? Eh? Somebody was telling me, you know, my AI was telling me this. I didn't even know these things about myself. Then my AI was telling me. I said, now you are receiving the voice of the devil direct. No, but it does not come as a voice of the devil. It watches everything you're doing and then presents itself as it's feeding into your desires. Okay? So it knows your desires by your search engine, by you know, all the things you do which are connected. So it brings everything that you desire and brings it to you. But the purpose is to entice you. Everyone is drawn away by his own desires. Now, if your desires are in a certain direction, it will come and bombard you with that direction and even give you advice accordingly. Eh? Somebody told me that, you know. But you know, people, you guys who are modern, eh? I fear for you because there are so many people who are believers. Like, you have the Holy Spirit and you're listening to ChatGPT. Now, I was reading the other day, You remember the metaverse? The guy closed it down after spending $9 billion trying to what? Trying to rebrand it. Do you know why? Because the air changed. By the way, around 2020, the kingdom of darkness knew that their time had come. 2020, 21, 22. They were convinced that now it was their time. They were going for the kill to just go and encircle everybody and reintroduce the mark of the beast sort of tyranny. They were all prepared for it. But something changed in the airwaves. The next thing I knew, Zuckerberg has closed down Metaverse after spending billions of dollars, billions on building it. And he had closed down Facebook because he wanted everyone to go to the Metaverse. Then the Metaverse died. By the way, you have no idea how much we survived the bullet, you guys. Because those guys had come for us properly. There was a time I would study what they are doing. And there was a time I asked the Lord, but really, do we have what it takes to bring these guys down? Now they are so sophisticated. They are so sophisticated that I was wondering whether... You know, sometimes where you have to just believe what the scripture says, when Jesus says that the gates of hell will not prevail. And I say, you say the gates of hell will not prevail, so we have got to believe it, they will not prevail. But the way I'm seeing these guys, because they come at you from every angle, and they look like it's independent voices, but they are all working together, the same people. And they create an absolute psyop where if they want to push a certain message, it will come off the media, off bloggers, then there will be memes about it, then there will be whatever, and they are shaping a reality. And that's the work of the devil. He shapes a reality and makes something fake become very real, and it becomes the thing. You know, when I was in the media, people used to say there is no smoke without fire. But when I was in the media, I learned that when there is a lot of smoke, there is no fire. Because when there is actual fire, the smoke is not synchronized. It is just smoke, you understand? But if everything seems to be organized, you know somebody is pushing it. Because narratives are not supposed to be the same. They are supposed to be different. For instance, there is a war taking place in Iran right now. If you listen to CNN, you can think Iran has hammered America and Israel. They are about to give up. If you listen to Fox News, the war is going to end tomorrow. Trump has hit everybody. So that's how news is supposed to be. Everyone is supposed to have it. But if, for some reason, all narratives are pointing in one direction, you know that's a psyop. Somebody is putting in money. Somebody is trying to make you believe something which is not there. Because there is no way you can have synchronized narratives. Even if you saw the same thing. And I've seen this accidents, where there's an accident on the road and there are eyewitnesses. And then they ask, one eyewitness, he saw what happened. Then he tells one story. Then the next eyewitness has a totally different story. Can't you all know about that? Then he said, did these people witness the same thing? And the answer is yes. But somehow the narratives have to change when there are people involved. But now if everywhere, like the way it was in COVID, where the news is the same, all the news is the same, you know that is just a psyop and somebody is lying. And that's how it is. So, and the enemy is an expert at that. And you don't know that he is an expert at causing deception. And because you don't understand that, you mistake deception for lies. And deception is that thing which he surrounds you with when you are in the process of making an important decision. Deception is not the same as lies. Lies is just saying something that is untrue. Okay? As simple as that. Deception comes with a whole acting, something around it, that it's not just words. You create even a visual of something that is not true. And it's a very deep thing. I was reading some Nigerian man who was deep, deep. I don't know, some of these stories, I don't even know if they are true, but so receive it with caution. But it illustrates my point. He says that he was serving the devil, and one day they took him to a certain chamber, somewhere deep down in the underworld there. And they showed him a man who is in chains. And they told him, now this is Jesus. The Christians are on earth thinking Jesus is what, but here we have him captured. They said, you talk to him. Then Jesus said, man, things are tight here, but now that deception is it comes around. It's not just telling you a lie. It comes to surround you completely, especially at a time when you are going to make a very important decision. Now this person will come with this, another one will come with that, and you don't know it has all been engineered by the devil. Okay? So now somebody calls you and tells you this. Then another one calls you and tells you this. And they are all pointing in the same direction, trying to push you in a certain way. And you don't see that there is a deception. There is something happening there of the enemy. Because you think your decisions are not important. They are very important. And he knows that you are about to reach a turning road. He knows if he can convince you to go this direction, he has finished you. So you bring all the people who would come. What did they say? What? So he creates a whole scenario. So this guy said, he would come and see people. He says, these guys don't know. The guy whom you are worshipping is there, is in chains. And he's in chains. And he was thoroughly convinced. Then at some stage, he said what made him start thinking again is they went to attack some guy who was like, you know, of some level in the spirit, a Christian. And then he said he arrived there with confidence and what? Then this guy said, in the name of Jesus, then he saw all the demons fleeing. And he said, hey, but I thought the guy is in prison. So he started saying, but if the guy is in prison, how come you? So when the demons came back, he said, but you guys, you said the guy is in prison, but now you're fleeing when they mentioned his name. Which is, then now you could see, then he started doubting, but he couldn't come out because they killed. So he first of all stays there, but he's watching them until eventually he realizes. But you see, they put up a whole movie around your decision just to deceive you to go in a certain direction. And you think you're not important. You are that important. Like, you're very important because he knows one decision you're going to cause harm to his kingdom. So he will pull out all those things to try and. Anyway, so he says each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now, the word I want you to hear, to listen to properly here, is desires. Desires. That's a very, very powerful word. Because each one of you here has something that they desire. They really, really, really desire inside them. Like, and if that thing is not God, the devil is going to target you somehow. He's going to see that there is a loophole. There is a loophole there. I told you one time when I was staying here in Insambia Estates, one day I'd finished praying late in the night, around 4 a.m. So I went to sleep. So I entered the bed and I just turned into bed like this. And then I heard a voice. And the voice told me that, what do you want? What can I do for you? Now that was in my mind, I was speaking to God. That's what I thought. So he said, what can I do for you? Then I said, I just want to know how to please you. Then when I said that, I had the silence. Then the next thing, the thing jumped on my neck. I started strangling me. You traitor! I thought it was God. I said, no. But you see, the devil cannot hide himself for long. He cannot hide himself for long. He has only a short time between, and then he'll have to reveal himself. Because now, I realize that if you give something which he can, if you tell him something which he can give, for instance, you say, man, me, I just want to be rich. He says, thank you very much. Then he will give you a path which will take you in a certain direction and you want to know what hit you. But now the answer I gave you must have called him. So the guy jumped. The next thing I heard, he was twisting my neck like this. You know, he held my neck like this and was turning it around like this and saying, you traitor. Then I just laughed And then I told him to get lost. Then he left. Then I realized about this guy. Like, for some reason, he used to visit me a lot those days. I don't know why. It's been a while since we renewed acquaintance. he used to visit me a lot those days. Now, but this one was the devil himself. But other times he would come in form of demons. So, anyway, my point is, if there was a desire inside there, that is, you know, I want this, I want that, I want... All those people you see who are drawn away, even in the scriptures, there's some desire. You remember the story of Balaam, the son of Beor? The scripture says, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. So Balak, the king of Moab, called him and told him, I want you to curse the children of Israel for me, and I'm going to give you money. I'm going to reward you greatly. And now, you know what Balaam did? Balaam wanted the money, but he wanted to receive it in Ugezi-Gezi. You know what that is. So he said that even if you promise to give me your whole house of money, I am not going to, you know. But then he says, you come. He says, okay, we go. But even if you want... So he had noticed that there was a desire for money. So he goes with him. Then he reaches there, swearing that he's only going to say what the Lord tells him to say. And at the beginning, he says what the Lord tells him to say. But then Balak knew. So he comes and tells him, but there's this money. I'll give you gold. I'll give you what? Eventually, Balaam was ready to do what? To curse Israel. Yet he had sworn he's not going to go. And actually, the donkey meeting him on the way, even he was still deceiving himself that he's not going to curse them. But God knew. So the angel came and stood in front of the donkey, and the donkey was seeing him, and the prophet was not seeing. So, like, there was a desire inside there for man. And there is all these, I told you this before. I know that there are things which people do, and there is a deep desire inside them to achieve something, and the enemy will give it to you, but take away all your peace, and you'll have nothing left. You see, nothing left. And that's how all these people, the spirits work. They come, they notice that there is a desire inside you which you don't feel can be fulfilled by God. Then they start there. So are you going to be, you know? And she also some gospels, the way people preach that told us the gospel a long time, and some of it is, some guy told me, a man of God, that he went to a preacher, some guy who had been a preacher. Huh? Not who had been, who was a preacher. And the guy told him, oh, man, Mukama waku were sad and nunch. Like, oh, what is danger? Like, and they really present to God as if, man, you have to really suffer for him to give you anything. Now, with such a message, the devil will come and tell somebody, do you have to preach the gospel for 20 years to get a shirt? Me, I can give you some suits. Now, and this is a man of God. A 30. And the guy is presenting it as that is the truth of the gospel. And now you're listening to somebody who has been at it for a long time. So imagine you believe that of God. Then it creates in you a desire of, if I'm going to be rich, I think I'm going to have to find something outside of God. The minute that thought enters your mind, the enemy will be right there to give you the path that will take you there and take you away from God. Like, it is automatic. The minute you're drawn away by his own, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. And then that is it. Because people go because they want certain things. Anything that you want, and it's so... I remember when I was practicing faith things and what, Osama was praying for something, And I was believing God for it. And I was saying, but God, why is it not happening when I'm believing for it? Then he asked me, what if it doesn't happen? Then I said, if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. Your word is still true. And you're still my God, and I still love you. The minute I said that, it happened. Because you see, if you try to, that's the principle of whoever loves this world, loves his life, will lose it. Eh? If there's anything that you love so much, okay, you end up losing it. It says, but whoever gives it up for my sake will actually get it. Now that sounds like a paradox, and it is, but that is it. So Adrian is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Go ahead. And enticed. What verse is? Then, when desire has conceived. Now, remember, it is an idea. It's a desire. But it is like a sperm. It conceives. It's like a womb. It conceives and gives birth to sin. Let me go back to my example. That time when that guy came to me and asked me, what can he do for me? And I thought I was talking to God. Imagine now I tell him that, you know, man, I just want to be rich. And the truth is I wanted to, because I was broke, but I didn't want it that much. So then he gives, it conceives and gives birth to sin. Somehow, somewhere along the way, sin means here, you know, it cutting you off the path of God. Then it gives birth to sin. And then it says, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And that is the whole purpose of it. So it comes from desire to death very fast. Very fast. And it all comes at that point when you make decisions. And you have to know that at every time in your life, if people would only understand that, especially when you get a bit older and get to, like, let's say even 40. At 40, life is only giving you receipts of decisions which you made. You can deceive yourself, but you're just getting receipts. You understand? Every decision you make is going to pop up between 40 and 50 as a receipt. Good or bad or indifferent, it is going to pop up. And say, remember that time when you were 20 and you wanted to, here is the receipt. And it might be something you don't like. And then you start, you know, thinking that it's because something you don't pray and what. No. Actually, the major thing of praying is that you make the right decisions at the time you're supposed to make them. That is the major, major, major thing about praying. Okay? To find out, what should I take? Which direction should I take? Why? To be sensitive to the Spirit of God at all times, to avoid hitting your head on the wall every time. You go and, you know, then your life is full of receipts which you don't like. And you're angry, yet actually you were making those decisions and you thought there was not going to be a time when they are going to come and bite you. But they always do, by the way. They always do. So you see, you can choose to believe in you. That is maturity, to believe that everything in your life is in your control. Good or bad or indifferent, everything, it's about you. I am not going to take this direction. I'm not going to take this direction. There's a temptation to do this, but I'm not going to do it. That's not who I am. There is a receipt for every time you refuse to do something because it does not fit into who you think you are. Okay? You say, no, I'm not. That's not who I am. Amen? And then you actually go and impose who you are on yourself. And define yourself in a way that when something comes, you tell, this is mine or this is not mine. Have you ever seen people who, one today, he's in real estate. And he's a broker of houses. When you meet him tomorrow, he's in gold. Huh? Then you meet him another day, he's standing for Member of Parliament. Like that is, you're childish and you remain childish until you die. You have to know, you see, that was the first thing, that's the first lesson I have to learn. Because you see, when you're a child, you start thinking that every money is your money. So somebody comes and tells you, this thing has money, then you run, as if you're a fool. And you see, these government spies like doing that a lot, enticing people with their desire. They do that a lot. I remember the first time I showed any desire whatsoever of joining politics, the gold deals which I got, people come and say, you know what? But they got me when I knew where my money is going to come from. So somebody comes and summarizes you a very powerful deal of how you're going to get this amount of money of gold and what. Which is. Then I'm looking at this one who came when I was still there on Rwenzori Towers. So I looked at him. So I told him that. He told me, we are going to do this business, we are going to do this, we are going to do this. And he's not telling me to join, but he's saying in a way that he's trying to entice me. And I knew. Then when he finished, I said, so why are you telling me? He said, no, I don't know, you might want to, you know. I said, no, me, I'm a man of God. Unless you came here for me to pray for you, that it happens. I saw the light drain out of his face. He was bored. Like I've never seen somebody so bored. Because they are supposed to entice you. Now you cannot, when somebody has understood what I'm telling you here, that every decision, every outcome has a decision behind it. And you have to know where your money is going to come from. By now, every one of the people he asked, you have to know, this is the place of my money. Either I'm going to be in textile, either I'm going to be in engineering, either I'm going to be in this. And you know, this is where you are. Otherwise, tomorrow somebody is going to come and kusomera you forex trading, then you run. Then the other day somebody comes and kusomeras you something, then you what? You run. And you just be on the run all over the place, and you never make any development. You have to know, this is where God has placed me. This is where my success is going to come from. And you be so sure about it that even if somebody presents to you a very rosy image of something that is outside of your line, you say, I'm not interested. So then they came with other things again. And I kept on telling them, me, I'm a man of God, unless you want me to pray for you. So they gave up on me. They realized I'm not interested in gold. Or they didn't do on the gold, by the way. There were other things. They always are creative. Then afterwards, they came with dreams. I dreamt when this. And the dreams are so fake. They are so. Somebody came and said that I dreamt when I'm supposed to be the person you trust and you tell everything. I said, okay. That's interesting. That's an interesting dream. Then I asked him, what do you think it means? I said, I don't know. people are so interesting. But you see, when you learn what I'm telling you here about, you have your path, which is yours, and God has enough success for you there. That's where you're being waited for. You know, we are all workers of government, so to speak, like working in the kingdom of God. But even workers of government have deployment. Okay? You don't just go anywhere because you're a civil servant. If you are deployed in Ministry of Gender, you don't wake up tomorrow and go to Ministry of Defense. They don't know you there. You are an imposter. But in reality, you're actually a civil servant. But they don't know you there. So you go and struggle, and you don't even have a desk, you don't have anything. Yet if you went to Ministry of Gender where they apportioned you, there is a desk waiting for you, and there is, you know, everything that you need. So there has to be a sense in you of, this is my direction, and I'm not going to be swung all over the place by anything. like swung by money. If you are still at that place where somebody can swing you for money, this thing has money, then you run. This one has money, then you run. Then you really actually are in trouble, I'm telling you. You have to learn the law of what? Of decisions and consequences. That's when you start learning that this is my path. This is where God has deployed me. This is where I'm going to get my prosperity. Everything I need is going to be here. And I am doing a job in this place for the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to be swayed by this. This person came, then he sways me. This one. And now I see them, so many of them, even among us here. Somebody comes and says, we are joining real estate. We are starting a real estate company. Then people run after them. And it's blind leaders of the blind. Because the person who is talking of starting a real estate company, look at him. You wonder what real estate. But you see, now, this desire thing, I still want to say something about it. There's somebody who came to me who has seen me for so long and asked me a simple question and asked me that, I've seen you for so many years and I've seen the way you've moved on and so forth. Then the person tells me, I seem to be moving well in prophetic, what, my dreams and what. But why are finances jammed? Why is money such a problem? Then there was a time I was naive also. I would just go and talk, and you're giving your pearls to swine. You know, there's a lot of swine even among the believers. They're not going to listen to you. They want something, you know. So I would talk. So I learned, then later on I learned that these people don't want answers. So they just want kabozi. So the person comes and says, why are finances jammed? So I say, man, I don't know. Why do you think? Then the person answers themselves and goes. Then I said, so all along you did. Now I was going to waste my time on you. But then others, I would put up a test and say, oh man, now I'm a bit busy. You go and come back next week. Then the next week, I used to meet people on Wednesdays. The next week, the person is the first person there. Then I still put up a reason and say, go, we'll come back the other week. Then the person comes. I'm just trying to see if they are serious. So then if I sense that there is a bit of seriousness, then I'll tell them what I know. Because I know something. But then I realize that there are people who have a deep desire of getting things overnight. You understand? So you try to give them principles which are going to work. They want it to happen this week. And so they will go to people and you see what the scripture says, that they have piled up for themselves teachers. They have itching ears, and they have piled up for themselves teachers who will teach them according to their itching ears. If you want those things of Kagwira, there are so many people who will give you that thing. That do this, tomorrow you're going to be a billionaire. You are not going to be. There is a process by which it happens. And if you follow that process, it's a sure process. It's sure, it does not lie. But you see, if you have a desire inside you of some, there are people who like fake things. And by the way, there are people who have a very deep desire for fake things. They will look at something real and despise it. And then you will find them pursuing something which is fake. I know people who are like that. They will see a man of God, and somehow, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. You know, those teachers are you pile up teachers who are going to tell you, you see, then they get water and then say, who wants to be, Chitore, shoo! Then you get wet, and tomorrow you're still broke. But they will go back tomorrow. Because they despise the process by which things happen. And once I see somebody is in a hurry, wants things to happen fast, I realize they have a desire inside them for something which is going to happen tomorrow, sometimes because they have somebody to impress, sometimes because, you know, they feel time has passed them by, they feel they have made so many wrong decisions, now it's time for them to catch up suddenly for all the mistakes they have made. You will catch up, but there is no suddenly. You know, like in the finance thing, there will be a process by which you get it. And there will be suddenness somewhere along the way, but there has to be a process. There has to be, you know, you have to go through the wilderness, what I call the wilderness syllabus, to get into the promised land. So when I realize that somebody has those itching ears and they have made up their mind, they don't want things, you start telling them, now, there is this. There's a lady who came to see me some time ago. So she came and asked me, why is this not working? So I started explaining to her what the word of God says about finances. She had an old book. She pulled out the old book and started writing every scripture that I was telling her, writing it down. Then she asked me, what about this? She was speaking to me in Luganda. What about this? I said, no, this is what the scripture says. This one is going to be like this and like this and like this and like this. And what about this? Then she left, she stood up and left and told me, by the time I come back here next time, I will be in a totally different place. Man, when you hear somebody like that, suddenly you forgive all these jokers. Because somebody who is like, she doesn't attend. She's from far. She just hears my messages on what? On YouTube and all that. But she asked me questions about finances. And I gave her my heart. And she was writing down all the scriptures. Then she promised me, next time I will see you, it will be different. Now, when somebody is serious about that, I remember Kenneth Copeland said that he went and to the ministry of Kenneth Hagin, and he got some, they gave him some free CDs, cassettes, that those days, free cassettes of, you know, messages and what. So he said he got as many as possible because he couldn't afford them. So he got as many as possible, compiled them, carried all of them. The next time he went to see Kenneth Hagin, he had brought for him a brand new powerful car and said, this is from your CDs. There is a way it works and it cannot fail. But you see, if you have a desire for fakeness, you will get fakeness because there is enough fakeness around. Amen? There is enough fakeness around. Then there is another pastor who said that he went to a hotel, you know, and he arrived in the hotel and they told him that Kenneth Copeland has just checked out of this hotel. Then he went and told them which room was he. Then he says, don't change anything. Don't change the bed sheets. Don't change the towel. Leave everything as it is. I want this room. Then he said he went and lay in the bed on the sheets where the Kenneth Copeland had lay and said, God, I want that thing that makes Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Copeland. That's Bishop David Oyedepo. And then suddenly the man is, phew. There's a means by which these things work, but you have to be serious about it. Somebody has to, imagine somebody who, he said he had to convince the hotel. Because it's fake. What kind of request is that? Don't change the bed sheets. Don't change the towel. Don't change anything. Just leave the room as is. I want to sleep in it. And he said he cried all night and said, God, whatever makes Kenneth Copeland, I want that. So now, if you want itching ears, you'll get itching ears. People will tell you, now this is going to happen. This is going to, this one. And you'll be there and nothing is going to change because there is a desire inside you for fakeness. And people desire fake things, by the way. They'll look at something genuine and they'll go for a fake one. Why is that? Because it is inside them. They love fake things. Even when it comes to choosing, let's say, a man, she will look at a good man and choose a fake one. Because it is inside them. You have legit guys on your case. But somehow you don't feel them. For you feel the other fake one. Like, and you're special. You're special like that. And that's just the way it is. And now, unless you go inside and say, what is it about me that always attracts the wrong people? And I always do that sometimes. How could I attract the wrong person today? Could I attract the wrong person tomorrow? It has to be something in me that I have to change. And then I start working on myself. Why am I attracting fake people? This person, why fake? This one, fake. It happens to me twice. I already know it is in me. It is not them. It is in me. So I will start watching myself and saying, why do I go for the fake one? Yes, they are real ones all the time. Then when you get rid of it from within you, all the fake people vanish. And then you start attracting the real people. That's why it says desire. When the desire is removed for something, there are people, somebody who came to me and, like, they had been broke, they got some money, then they came to me talking like they own the whole world. So I told you, calm down. Then somebody is hiring a Range Rover to drive him around town every day. Like, there are certain things which are stupid. There's nothing wrong with hiring a Range Rover, but you see, you have to know your level. There are levels. You'll get there, but maybe you're not there. So they were paying 1 million shillings a day to be driven around in a Range Rover. And 1 month later, brokenness. Now you see, there's a certain thing. Now, if it happened to somebody once, I would forgive them. But if it happens to you again and again, you have to ask yourself, but why? Amen? You have to ask yourself why. You see, even decisions, even like in things like marriage. In marriage, long ago they used to have elder ladies who would advise young girls. I don't feel him. He's a bit too boring. But there's some elder ones who say, don't shut up. That is a very good husband. You go there. Forget those things of yours. Because sometimes you need an elderly voice. And even in this church life, when you don't have somebody you listen to, you are in serious trouble. I don't feel what, you know, and what you're calling feeling is just the way he approached you. Maybe he's not confident, maybe he's not what. But the Bible does not say that. That he does not have a sense of humor. Where did you see it in the Bible? That the husband should have a sense of humor. You're just stupid. If you want a sense of humor, is he a comedian? But you see, you're copying what Hollywood says. You see, and you think it is going to work in the church. But you're I want a man who has a sense of humor. So you see, sometimes the best men are boring guys. Because they don't have a sense. But anyway, my point is this. There has to be a bit of people. The church missed out on this multitude of counselors, their safety. That scripture which says in the multitude of counselors, their safety. Because there are certain things where you go and ask counsel. You remember the story of getting a wife for Isaac? The way they gather together and what, and there's all this thing, then they ask Rebecca, are you willing to go with him? And, you know, then they ask the man. Before even they talk to Rebecca, she's out of this plot. So they ask the man, where are you taking our daughter? And the man says, my master Abraham has been blessed. He has so many herds, he has so many what, and he has one son. And that son is looking for a wife. And he sent us here to look for a wife. They have not even asked her. So they first make the decision themselves as elders. But then they now leave it up to her to decide. So they said, call her. Are you willing to go with him? Then she says, yes, I'm willing to go with him. Then it is that. You see, those stories are not in the Bible for nothing. Like, there are so many stories which have happened in 6,000 years. Don't think the Holy Spirit just chooses stories to put in the Bible. They are there for a reason. They are there for a reason. The scripture even says if all the things Jesus did were recorded, there would be not room enough to contain the books. But those were edited for a reason to all everything. So anyway, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I am happy today that your desire is for God. Amen? And not for fakeness. And your decisions are going to be guided by the Spirit of God. First, pray in tongues, everybody. Stand up and pray. Pray loudly. Pray loudly. Every time that we are gathered. Every time that we are gathered.
Every time that we are gathered together in His name, there is also in power and in strength.
Just pray in tongues, everybody. For you desire.
For you
somebody who I'm seeing like an unexplained sweating on your foot, on a foot which is inexplicable, almost like a, who is that person? What happened? Yes, what happened?
My nails grew, and somehow I didn't trim them, so it entered into the body. Yes, and it became like that. It started swelling, brought some pus, and then started paining me.
Okay, let's receive healing for it in the name of Jesus. In the name of, Jesus, you're healed of it. I command that pain in the foot to vanish right now. And go and not come back in the name of Jesus. And you're healed and shall not come back in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody who has testimonies for what? Restoration. Judith, you have a testimony which you don't want to give. Do you have? I am seeing you have one, but if you don't have it, it's okay. But I'm seeing you have one.
Yes, praise God. Now, before you ministered about restoration, I had gone through some kind of financial attack. My finances were really down. I have some business. So for the first time since it started, we had spent about... We would spend 2-3 days with zero cash. There was no inflow at all. Then after restoration, I started to pray about it and to meditate about it. And then the cash started coming, started slowly. But from that time up to now, there has been financial statements daily. And even in other areas, in my relationship life and in many areas of my life.
Okay. who has been paid money? Which? Eh? Who has been paid money? Or?
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Mm-hmm. I was paid by someone I didn't expect. I kept on calling people that I was expecting money from, but they were not picking. Mm-hmm. Then the two people that were supposed to pay me suddenly called me and paid me back. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen. Okay. Okay, now listen to me, everybody. There's the power of God here. I want you to believe me. Okay? I want you to believe me. There's the power of God here to heal HIV. So if you have it, just receive your healing now. Receive your healing now and go and test afresh. Okay? Just receive your healing now. Believe what I'm telling you. Just receive your healing now and go and test afresh. Because the power of God is here to heal HIV in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. Because HIV is healed, it's healed in Jesus' name. And now somebody has received it here today and is going to come with a testimony. Just pray in tongues, everybody. The blessing of restoration continues in your life in the name of Jesus. The word is still active. So continue to expect restoration of everything that the enemy had taken in the name of Jesus. Continue to demand for restoration in your life. Make sure it is a constant demand until you feel that you've received everything that the enemy had taken away from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was The Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gaba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.